Hello, everyone. Welcome to Walking with the Dead, a review podcast for AMC's of The Walking Dead. I'm Stephen Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
Cornel Montgomery.
And we're here for filmbook.com. That's film-book.com. All right. So if you're new to the podcast and this is your first episode, what we do is we talk about every week's current episode of The Walking Dead. This week, we're going to be talking about season 6, episode 3. Thank you. Now, this is an episode that has plenty to talk about, so this episode might go a little longer than usual, and if it's your first podcast, you wouldn't know. But if it isn't, it's going to be just a little longer because there's a lot to talk about this time around. So before we get to the big juicy event of the episode, we're going to be talking about one of the first things that happens as they hear the horn and as the group makes its way into the forest. It's the kind of idea that the first guy that gets killed from the group, he brings it up. He's like, well, he blames Rick and his group for what had happened to Alexandria.
Are you talking about Barnes?
Bonds.
Yeah, he's yes. The first one.
Barnes was he was putting the blame on them because of the things that are happening around them. They're like, well, you guys came here and now everyone's dying. It's your fault, which doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Although I did say, was it the first season or first episode of the season that Rick and his crew basically are like, a plague. They come in there and all good things go to like waste.
It's terrible. They're a social pariah on whatever colony group that they go against. It's just hilarious.
They are locusts.
Yeah, pretty much.
But and it's one of those things where it's just, it happens to be coincidental. They happen to see the problems ahead of time. And honestly, that herd probably would have been a big problem. I mean, if just when they were formulating the plan, all of a sudden the semi comes down. Like, it was bound to happen, really.
Even then, once they found that gorge, they knew they were going to have a problem regardless. So they needed something to pretty much lead all that out of there.
Now, in the previous episode, I remember talking to you about how I thought that the members of Alexandria would blame Rick and his people for it. And that's exactly what happened, man. Because I think in their minds, they lived in this perfect little utopia. And here comes Rick and his crew. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, we're just going to rattle your cage. And See, this is the thing. Like, I don't think there's enough people left to really share that sentiment with.
No, there really isn't.
Because I think most of the people left are kind of in the mindset of Rick and his people are here to help. And I honestly thought the guy complaining was going to get back to Alexandria and that the blame might play a bigger role in the season. But it doesn't seem like that's really the case anymore.
No. And then Rick pretty much got next to Michonne and Glenn and told them, you know, if it's going to go down. So if you guys have a chance to survive, just survive. It doesn't matter if they slow you down or not.
Like, just make it any possible way.
He's like, well, you guys are going to be more important asset than these guys are. Yeah. Because, I mean, if you guys die and these guys are left, they can't even fend for themselves. So what are they going to do for me?
Yeah. That was the most infuriating
thing. Plus their family.
That's the most infuriating thing about the episode, though, and even the previous episode. These last two have really shown just how useless the people from Alexandria were.
And clueless. I mean, they just lived in a world, like in a box. And was it how Michonne was telling him that, you know, you even though you were Explorer, she was telling
Negan.
No, it's not Negan. It's not Negan. Negan's not even in the show yet.
What the hell's his name?
I can't remember his name. The guy who plays Dr. Dre. Yeah. They were. She was telling him basically that you might be an explorer with Aaron, but you didn't experience having to kill random people. You didn't have to experience hordes of zombies, getting attacked by people not knowing if the blood is your blood, their blood, or zombies' blood, or your friend's blood. You know, it's just, you know, they are completely oblivious to what's really going on out there. Like, they live that long somehow.
Well, they lived in a little shelter, and that's one thing that, like, Deanna's husband, he mentions, like, well, we put up the walls relatively early on in what was going on. And I think that directly leads to Aaron's sentiment of, like, we should go out and find people to bring back. And now I think what's going to happen is, honestly, I'm so used to the way The Walking Dead does things where they present some sort of an issue and then all of a sudden there's a lot of dissent in the group and people are aligned with other people and there's a lot of infighting. It sort of seems like this season, and so far in the season, we've seen very little of that and more of, look, whatever our petty problems are, we should like band together and actively. Yeah, it's like we should band together and actively combat whatever's coming at us. whether it be zombies, whether it be the wolves, whatever problem's coming at us, we should combat it in any way possible.
And it looks like they were holding their own. I mean, you know, it was Heath.
Heath, that was his name?
Heath is the one.
Okay.
Where were we getting at?
what I was basically getting at is that, well, also from thinning out the cast, we're seeing how each, it's almost like a bunch of different groups now, because it is one big group, but they've all splintered off. As opposed to bringing them together and seeing the problems that arise when they're together, this is how each, almost like how each group deals with the problems that come up individually.
It kind of seems That's like true. A common theme in The Walking Dead that happens, where they'll have the large group, they'll get together, they'll finally find something good, something happens, and then they splinter off into those separate entities, and then they'll come back together as a whole different group. We found new people and we lost old people. And that's just a new cast for the next half of the season or next season in general. I think, though, that, like, the people that are left at the moment, because a lot of people died this episode. One thing I do like is that these last three episodes are essentially happening at the same time, the last two episodes especially, that they're just showing the other half of that day. And you're able to hear, you know, the gunshots in the background, you knowing that, okay, this is at what point this was happening in the town, and then over here this is happening with Rick and his group. It's cool. I mean, I really, really like that.
I like how it pushes the boundaries of how far they're willing to go now, since most of the herd has been broken off, and they're trying to show if their level of survival is actually put to the limits. And it actually is. It gets really intense after a while.
Much more so for the people from Alexandria.
Yeah, because
they don't have anyone to defend them.
Yeah. And not only that, when they got stranded inside of that pet shop too, that's when everything started going way insane. First it was, there's a little noise that's coming in there, ends up being two walkers, and then one walker hears that, and then out of nowhere it's a few of them are pounding on the door. And then you see the herd of them coming out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, the herd that splintered off from the group because of the horn. Because, I mean, essentially that's what this episode started off with.
Oh, man.
Them trying to find out what's up with the horn. And then when the horn stops, they're like, okay, we're good. Let's go back to what we were doing. And that's when they splintered off into the little subsections. But it was just kind of – this whole episode was very tense.
Yeah.
And The Walking Dead hasn't gotten me like that in a long time. And I feel like this season is a solid season just in general. And – to have me kind of on edge the whole episode, wondering like, okay, are they going to get out of it, and are they going to go there? You know, they're doing a good job.
They're really, really good.
Well, here's one of the things that I always talk about: what characters symbolize what sentiment, mm-hmm. and I feel like Heath definitely symbolizes the sentiment of the old way that was Alexander's thinking, because when he overhears Rick tell Michonne and Glenn, like, hey, whatever you do, make sure you make it back, even if you have to leave him behind. Even though Michonne and Glenn don't necessarily share that sentiment, because they throughout the episode, they do try their best to really make it home with everyone. They don't want to leave anyone behind. Nope. But Heath overhears that, and in his mind, it's like, well, you're very cutthroat, and you're just going to leave me to die. Mm-hmm. And like, I am not going to leave anyone behind. And throughout the whole episode, that keeps coming back. Like, Heath keeps making little digs at Michonne. And I've always kind of thought, like, well, that's essentially what people in Alexandria probably think, and that's the mentality they had before. Now, obviously, they're going to have a much more ruthless mentality because they saw the slaughtering in their own streets by people. And I think what's great is that one half of the people from Alexandria saw how big of a problem the zombies can be. The other half saw how big of a problem people can be. So it taught both sides a very valuable lesson.
Oh, yes, it did. It pretty much shows you anybody's an enemy. That's exactly what Rick was installing. What's the same thing he's trying to install in everyone's head. Doesn't matter who it is, if it's a walker, if it's a person, anything can kill you.
Everyone's a threat, considering that everyone's still trying to survive.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that, I mean, like the wolves, like, it's just a group of people that just seemed like went chaotic and
just lost their minds.
Yeah, lost their minds, and their only way of surviving is by cannibalism. So they're like, we're going to come in and be like Vikings and pillage and then kill the people and eat the people. But you know, it's crazy that the largest threat, which we haven't seen for Rick's group right now, are zombies. Mm-hmm. Like, before, they've been attacked by, you know, just random groups, the cannibals,
the governor,
and, you know, just little groups and here and there. And right now, it's zombies are officially a threat again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of zombies,
yeah,
but it's a threat again.
And that's one of the things that I've always come to complain about the show, and why in some parts I stopped liking it as much, because I mean I'm a big fan of zombies, and I feel when you're in a zombie world, zombies should be an issue. They should not be a sort of back burner thought,
like an ignorant, or not ignorance, but irritants.
Yeah, it should definitely be on the forefront of your mind at all times. And I get that you can't make six seasons worth of, like, oh God, we got to stop the zombies, and I understand, like, because of everything that's happened to the group, it's probably better in the way they did it, where other things became the problem, because you got a lot of character development. Mm-hmm. But I think the characters are developed enough now for you to know what's in their minds and what they're thinking, and then for you to be like, all right, cool, I'm attached to this character. Now I want to see how they're going to interact with this world. And that's essentially what you're seeing now. It's like, I know how each character thinks. Like Morgan, even though we haven't had much time with him, it's like, I get how Morgan works. Mm. Carol, we all know how Carol works.
Carol, yeah. It's got to be done. That's Carol.
Yep. It was like, it's got to be done. I'll do it. Like, I know how this world works.
She doesn't enjoy it at all. As a matter of fact, I think she takes a lot of that with her, and it's been making her colder and colder and colder. But it has to be done.
It's that show she has to make. And so we're seeing that. And because these characters are so established now, it's sort of like, all right, now let's bring the zombies back. Now let's really make this an issue. Now let's bring what essentially should have been the problem from day one. Let's bring it back, make it a problem, have these really fleshed out characters, mm-hmm. characters that you care about and care for their survival, mm-hmm. and have them deal with one of the greatest threats that they've ever encountered.
Yeah, and then we start seeing, as going along from after that, Glenn puts his trust into Nicholas now, because Nicholas knows the whole area from there, so they're trying to set a fire to a building just so they can start attracting all of them there.
And that's when Michonne and, you know, David and all those other guys are trapped inside the pet shop. Mm-hmm. And when they look out and they see the horde coming, and then when they see that horde coming, they're running.
Yep.
And then Glenn and, you know, Nicholas see the horde coming from their side, and they're like, well, we're screwed. We can't go left. We can't go right, because mm-hmm. they're coming from both directions. Mm-hmm. We got to run. And just like both sides, they literally reach both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Michonne's group hits a fence, and they have to let David, it seems, right?
The one who got David. Shot in the leg.
David, yeah, they had to let David go, because he was the one that was bitten back, mm-hmm. and it was either him or Michonne, and, mm-hmm. you know, Michonne is kind of worth a little bit more, so David ends up dying right there, and Michonne makes it over the fence, and then on the other side, it's Glenn and Nicholas over there trying to fend for themselves, even though I wonder why they didn't try to go up those stairs. I don't know if you saw the stairs.
They kind of seem... It was a little odd.
They might have gotten stuck at one point, but I mean, it seems like that would be the fair option, mm-hmm. because you do see it as the camera kind of like pans around. You do see these like stairs kind of blocked, and you think, okay, a zombie is obviously not going to be smart enough to try to like
climb over,
you know, climb over the blockage or move it with their hands. But if they're like, if you're able-bodied, which to me it seems Glenn is, you could just get a running start and try to climb it like as fast as possible.
That's why Glenn was such a... He was such an asset in season one, two, whatever, because Glenn was quick and Glenn was agile, and he was able to get through places without being seen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure he still had that with him. He could have got away with it.
Yeah.
Could have got away with
it. But before that, though, you see Nicholas and him, they're going down one of the actual roads, and there's one body there.
Will.
And there was Will, and that's where Nicholas pretty much says, like, well, I left him behind, but I should be the one to take him out of his misery.
You know, it's my fault that I did it.
And now, for me, when I saw that, I saw him as he graduated from being a little punk to pretty much saying, this is pretty much the way, like, stuff's going to be ran, but I shouldn't have done it that way. And that's when he finally felt in his mind, like, well...
He's taking responsibility for what he'd done before.
Exactly.
And it did sort of seem like this episode was going to be a lot of development of Nicholas, and you were going to see... And you do see him change. You do see him trying to take...
Yeah, like, it's a retribution.
It's his resolution, pretty much.
He's like, okay, I understand my mistakes. I have to make it worth it. I have to prove myself to Glenn. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
It felt like a resurrection.
And I guess it's the perfect time to mention how... you know, it all ties back, because the name of the episode is...
Well, before you get to the thank you part, I honestly thought the thank you thing was based on how everyone's kind of helping each other.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that's what it would be about, but I mean, of course, Steven's gonna be here and ruin my whole
process. So, oh, man. Thank you. Was reference to as Nicholas sees, so Glenn and Nicholas get stuck in pretty much like an alleyway, and they have their to their backs is a fence and zombies on the other side. In front of them is the rest of the herd of zombies. Mm-hmm. So they climb on a dumpster in order to like just try to get away from anyhow. And as Nicholas looks around and he looks completely hopeless. All hope is lost. He looks over at Glenn, gets his gun, and just says, thank you, and blows his own brains out. And that was just such a strong moment, man.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like it was a thank you for believing in me kind of thing. But, I mean, end up screwing over Glenn because he pulled him down with him. You're just dead weight.
Man. Now, here's the thing that you're like, if you go around forums and if you go around the internet, you're probably going to see a lot of is Glenn really dead? Because the way you see, and it's probably stemming from the way you see Nicholas fall on Glenn. So as they're falling, Nicholas's body falls on top of Glenn's. And from we've seen before, a big herd, you get enough of like these, you get enough entrails on you and that scent on you, they really can't distinguish you that much. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a definite possibility, but is it a probability?
I don't feel like it because in the beginning, he doesn't have it, and they're reaching over on top of his head and pulling in two. And he's also screaming, so they'll hear that also.
He's not really screaming.
No, Glenn was screaming.
He was crying. He was crying.
Yeah, he was crying.
He was crying and just letting them tear away from him. He didn't say a single word, not a single sound.
I feel like he was screaming for some reason.
No, he didn't.
He wasn't screaming, but like it was one of those things where the music kind of builds up.
Yeah, that could be why.
It's essentially you're supposed to think that he's dead. Now, I'd like to think that one way or another, Glenn got out of there. But
in all honesty, how would he get out of there, though? If a herd is there surrounding him already, even if they, for some reason, never get through Nick and Glenn's completely unscathed, how is he going to get out of that situation? He's still surrounded by a horde. Mm-hmm. You know, so I feel like Glenn, he's, you know, damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. Like, if he was alive, he's going to be dead. And if he's dead, he's dead.
And that's the thing, like, what also made me think that, you know, Glenn is, like, it's his swan song, basically, is when he's talking to Rick on the radio. And he tells him, like,
you're an asshole.
No, he's like, be careful, dumbass.
Yeah, that's what
which is like reference to in the first season when he gets stuck underneath or inside or underneath the tank.
Inside the tank. Hey, that's when what he's like, hey, you, inside the tank.
Hey, dumbass. And he like, he talks to him over the radio. Mm. And that's complete reference to that. And I want to say that is the way of the show connecting with his way of connecting with Rick from, you know, the first time they met.
An entrance and an exit.
Yeah, to the last time he's ever going to see him or even speak to him.
Ouch, that's it. It's very touching.
And here's the thing. If you read the graphic novel or the comic, whatever you want to call it, you would know that Glenn was going to have his final words soon in this season because this is where he goes away in the comic. Mm-hmm. Spoilers, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And it's basically the writer said that Glenn grew up and he couldn't do anything further for Glenn because Glenn became a man. He went from being a boy and he couldn't defend himself to being essentially a leader in his own right. I mean, at one point, remember he was like when the group had split up in season 5 first half or season 4 in the second half, and he was taking control. He was like, we need to get here. And he, when they finally got to the location, he became a strong figure, and now there's nothing more he can do. He can't just be tough at all times. He doesn't really have a breaking point anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, Glenn's always like, well, I have to do it. Kind of like Carol, but more emotional. Like, he still has more, you know, heart. And I was ready for him to go. I honestly thought it was going to happen later. While we were watching the episode, I was like, oh, Glenn's going to die this season. Because when he was talking to them, I was like, he's going to die this season. Wow. When it happened, though, I was like, oh. It's a little bit earlier than I thought.
Yeah.
It's way earlier than I thought.
And then there was a weird minor occurrence that happened in the episode too, where Daryl just splits right off because he wanted to go back to go help Alexandria.
Yeah, that to me seemed like it didn't. It was so weird and it didn't really have anything to do with anything. And it didn't really accomplish anything either.
No, it didn't.
Pulled a circle.
Yeah, he just came right back.
Or maybe he felt guilty. Maybe he, or.
Well, no, but it's the fact that when on the radio, Rick pretty much tells him, all right, guys, I have an RV ready for everybody. And he's like, see, Daryl, we got it under control now. And he's like, damn it, see, this is why I shouldn't have left because everything was going fine.
Okay, we're skipping over this whole Rick thing.
Yes, we are.
When Rick went to go back to get that RV, He got into a lot of trouble, and
he pulled a marathon, dude.
Yeah, like he was already really pale and damp, and he was looked extremely tired, and he's still running through the zombies with just a knife in. I don't think he was shooting anything, so just his knife.
Just his knife that broke off that in the broke spider's off. Head,
and can't really tell if either he got bit or he cut himself.
Yeah,
what it looked like is that he stabbed the zombie in the head, and then as the knife broke off, he cut him. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was hoping, because like I didn't see any bite, but if he got bitten, I know he would have chopped his own arm off, and that's where it comes down to: is Rick gonna not have an arm next season, next few episodes?
Infection, maybe.
Yeah,
this is where it's gonna get a little controversial.
Because I hope they don't write it in, because I know that I always forget Kirk something. What's the last name?
Robert Kirkman.
That He regretted
doing that.
Yeah, writing in that Rick loses an arm, because now he has the right scenarios in which Rick can do something with one arm. Mm-hmm. And then the show writers are going to have to do that too. So it's going
to
be...
Eventually have to do that.
I don't know. I hope they don't do it. Because even with Herschel, when he had the one leg, it's like, okay, we're going to put Herschel in this scenario where he gets to sit down at this table, or he gets to sit down at this thing. He couldn't do much until they gave him a biotic leg out of nowhere. You know, so.
Now, one of the things I did want to talk about, which I brought up as we were watching the episode, it sort of seemed like the group, especially the group that split off with Michonne and Glenn, it seemed like they took forever to get back to Alexandria. And the previous episode, it seemed like it took Morgan 5 minutes.
He cartwheeled
all the way back to Alexandria.
Yeah, he stopped the freaking horn from honking.
He pole vaulted all the way over there.
Yeah, like I said, he got onto his broom and he flew all the way back. It was crazy how fast he got back there. But here's the thing. He also ended up being... the person to screw over Rick in the end.
Yep.
Unintentionally.
Yeah, because in the previous episode, what you see Morgan let a lot of people go, and one of them ends up grabbing a gun. And then at the end of this episode, you see that group run into Rick as they're escaping Alexandria, that's one thing. I thought these people were going to be a problem later on. I did not expect for them to die there and then.
Yeah, and I was actually hoping that they would be the main antagonists. But, I mean, they were a good plot device, though, because, I mean, they were basically the downfall of both Alexandria and the other group without intentionally being that. You know, they just came to get the stuff they needed and kill the people that they needed to kill. Exactly. But what they ended up doing was taking down a town and then bringing up noise and distracting the zombies and having them get pulled away. So... causing all these other people to die this episode just because they want a little bit of food, human food.
Oh, man.
They wanted some people. Soylent Green is my kind of people.
It's crazy, too, like how quickly he took them down, though.
Oh, Rick? Well.
Yeah.
Oh, just because Rick's a fighter, man. And yeah. Remember, these people, they mentioned last episode that they don't have any weapons.
No, yeah.
So he only had the gun, and he shot a few times, and he was a bad shot.
He saw them and...
I'm talking about when he took them outside the RV. So when Rick took those guys down... he was like, okay, I'm ready to go. And then he looked in the mirror and he was like, oh, well, there's more. Picked up his AK.
Fusillated them, dude.
And Rick took him out. And when he was shooting there, I was just like, I hope he doesn't shoot out his tires. But I guess he didn't. But
from what it looks like is when the
blonde wolf
was the one who shot the console.
Yeah, he seems like he shot at the dashboard and it might have messed something up in the RV.
Might hit the engine.
So at the end of the episode, we were just left with Rick in an RV that doesn't start or anything like that, and then the walkers
they're just
honing in on him, just closing in on him,
and then that's how it ends,
and it just ends right there.
Yeah, it's like it's getting really, really tense. Like, this is crazy to be the first three episodes of the season,
and I love the fact that the way how all of them ended so far were damn near perfect, man. They're damn near perfect,
and I hope that every episode ties in almost exactly how they've been doing the season, because it brings me in.
So it's like, this episode is what this group is doing. Mm. Next episode is what Alexander's doing.
And what effect that they're doing is going to cause an effect in the other one.
And it's finally showing that there is a major struggle that actually, you know, may not be able to be avoided.
Exactly. Like, these people are getting taken out one by one. I mean, this, easily. Like you said earlier, they are thinned out.
And that, and also the herd is coming towards Alexandria.
Regardless.
Like, there's no way of them avoiding it because...
it's split off. I mean, there's a large portion of it is leaving past Alexandria, but, I mean... 20 zombies is still a lot, so there's a lot more than 20 zombies headed towards Alexandria.
Would you say like a tenth of them is still
there?
Well,
there's a group that Michonne ran into, and then there's also the group that Rick encounters at the end. So there's two large portions of a herd that's going straight towards Alexandria.
Ooh. And Alexandria only has, what, 8 people left, probably?
Just about.
It's like, you know, Carl, the girl. Well, no, the girl left.
No, she left.
Enid booked it, man.
Yeah, yep. Well, so GSS, I mean, it's a small amount of people left in there, and not many people that can defend anyone. Nope. Because I mean, was it Deanna or Diana?
Diana's yeah. there.
Her son. Her son's not a good shot.
Spencer's and he's terrible. Actually,
they're all really bad under pressure. Yep. So
thankfully, there's not many of them.
Well, for a good reason, right? it's not going to be a good ending for this season. And you know, in all honesty, if they were to do one more season after this and end the show, I think they could end off on a high note.
Yes,
they can. Because it's gotten to a point that they're able to take people away and just end it. And I would not feel like they screwed me over. After all these seasons of things not really happening and things are finally happening, last season, the second half, actually all of last season, and then this season, I feel like it's the show's retribution for me. Like, I can finally watch the show again and be excited every Sunday.
You look at the show like, thank you, Nicholas.
Oh my God,
Nicholas, you saved.
You saved The Walking Dead.
I always go with what Rick said, especially from the last season. Like, they're not The Walking Dead. We are The Walking Dead. It's just, I saw that as, well, it is a matter of time until all of you are eventually going to be dead.
They're all dead inside.
Yeah, exactly. They were all broken down mentally, physically, and, well, maybe spiritually.
Well, no, okay, look, you just remember last season when they all integrate into Alexandria and they're all trying to act like nothing happened in the world. Everyone's still like, okay, we're sleeping in the same house, sleeping in the same rooms. We're still going to
hold my knife.
We're still going to have everything because we know that, you know, things can happen. And things are happening now. It's like their dream world just crashed down on them. So, man, this season is just going to be great.
It's great.
Unless this was the high point of the episode.
Be the high point of the episode because, goddamn, this season's so good right now.
It's only three episodes. So, let us know in the comments what you guys think. I also want to know what you guys think about Glenn. Is he alive? Is he dead? What's the probability about that?
Zero to none.
Unless he got picked up by Morgan on his broomstick and then they flew away.
I am gonna make
Morgan showed up and killed everyone.
I will make a random prediction right now. And since now Maggie's pretty much there, they're all gonna now rely on her on everything. I'm gonna put that right now as my prediction.
We'll see how that goes. Yep. So yeah, let us know in the comments what you guys think. So if you want to send us an email and get in contact with us, make sure to do so at podcast@filmbook.com. That's podcast@film-book.com. And also rate and subscribe and do all that good stuff. We like to hear from you guys. We like to talk about The Walking Dead as much as possible because we're huge fans of it, especially this season just kind of reinvigorated our fanaticism of the show. So we'll be talking to not only in this podcast, but probably any opportunity we get. So take it easy, guys.
Good night.
Rest in peace.